We're starting a show now called The Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com. We start the show with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Sears. Then I interview Stephanie Yu, who's also known as Hustle Cat on Instagram, and round out the show with a number of tunes performed and curated by Stephanie Yu. Stay tuned!
When I was a kid, occasionally my dad would ask me if I wanted to go to Sears with him. Normally, this would be early in the evening when all the other hardware stores were closed. We would drive into Macon and drive across town to the Sears located on Riverside Drive. Dad would go and get the material he needed for whatever project he was working on, and I would go to the department that had tropical fish, BB guns, and fishing equipment. It was our meeting place in the store. Once Dad was done, he would come and pick me up. Our home was stocked with a Kenmore vacuum cleaner, washing machine, refrigerator, and freezer. Southerners are big on putting vegetables into the freezer. We lived out in the country, 15 miles from Sears. We had to drive to get to Sears. Going to Sears was a fun evening with Daddy for me. We also received a Sears Roebuck catalog every year. This was an annual occurrence for families that lived out in the country. You could buy almost anything from the Sears catalog. Windmills, baby chicks, hammers, saws, fencing, shoes, socks, shirts, vacuum cleaners. Everything could be ordered from the Sears catalog. You could literally buy a complete house from Sears. This annual Sears catalog was 500 to 600 pages long. Poor families in the South would use the old Sears catalogs as toilet paper in their outhouses, the ultimate recycling. The Sears catalog was a wish list for farm kids to refer to before writing their annual letter to Santa Claus. The Sears catalog was the first place a lot of boys ever saw pictures of women in lingerie. Not exactly like Victoria's Secret, but titillating for sure. When I graduated from college and bought my first house, I was a regular at the Sears on Ponce de Leon Avenue in Atlanta. I still have a Craftsman toolbox and a set of chisels I bought in this store 45 years ago. The Sears Craftsman brand tools are guaranteed for life. They make great tools. I moved to Chicago when I was in my early 30s. Chicago was home to Sears corporate headquarters and the Sears Tower. For 25 years, the tallest building in the world. The Sears Tower observation deck was a regular stop for out-of-town guests when I lived in Chicago. When I moved to the New York area, I was once again in the market for tools to work on the houses I lived in and worked on. I once had a giant maple tree fall in my yard. I went to the Sears at the Jefferson Valley Mall and bought a chainsaw to dismember the tree. I moved to Santa Monica in 1992. The Sears at the corner of 4th Street in Colorado was now my store. I preferred to shop at the local hardware stores, but when it came to tools and appliances, I was off to Sears. I had Kenmore vacuum cleaners, washing machine, dryer, and Craftsman tools on my Christmas list. All of these purchases were good quality tools and appliances. A former record industry colleague worked selling appliances in this store. Then things started to change. In the mid-90s, faced with competition from Walmart, Best Buy, and Home Depot, sales began to slip. Sears declined from more than 3,500 physical stores to 695 U.S. stores from 2010 to 2017. Another 350 Sears stores have closed between 2018 and 2019. The Sears store in Santa Monica closed in 2017. My friend that worked there in the appliance department transferred to the Sears in Ventura's Pacific View Mall. Then it was announced that the Ventura Sears would close in February 2020. I went up to visit my friend and took him sandwiches from Bay Cities for lunch. Walking into this Sears was eerie. There was a huge banner over the entrance announcing blowout sale, 40% off. The store was almost vacant. Very few customers. The displays were not neat. It was obvious that the staff was just waiting to be fired. In addition to the ongoing sales, there would be a liquidation that occurred in February of 2020. Everything in the store would be sold. All fixtures, lights, quote, even the tile off the floor, end quote. I've scheduled my next trip to Ventura to occur 3 days before the end of the liquidation. It should be analogous to seeing buzzards picking the carcass off this once great American retailer. Sears has been a part of the American retail fabric since 1893. Sears is going the way of Toys R Us, the Passenger Pigeon, the Edsel, and the Mastodon. If this is progress, you can keep it. I want my Craftsman tool shop back.
It's July 29th, 2021. I'm here with Stephanie Yu, who is this multi-talented artist. And I wanted to interview you on the way up. So much talent. I wanted to get you on tape. You're a DJ. You're on NTS Radio. You're an extraordinary violinist, singer, keyboardist, bassist. You're involved in politics and health issues.
Oh, dear.
Hi, Stephanie Yu.
Hi, Mystic Pete. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've played the violin with some rather famous people. Why don't you drop some names? Let's get that out of the way.
Oh, dear. Yes, I guess most recently, Chloe and Halle, who are signed to Beyonce's label, and also Beyonce.
You played with Beyonce.
I have.
Boom! Come on.
But I should also say Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad from A Tribe Called Quest. They have a group called The Midnight Hour, in which I've went on tour with them a couple of times. The Who was a cool experience. That was in an orchestral experience, though, with the San Diego Symphony.
You play with The Who?
In an orchestral experience.
I'm bowing down to
No.
Listeners may be able to hear me bowing. Okay.
Yeah, no, I've had an opportunity to work with pretty amazing artists that I've respected. So I feel pretty lucky and blessed in that way to have those experiences.
Well, you're a Juilliard-trained musician.
Again, going in these directions weren't something that I was aspiring to. I just stayed sort of very open-minded and kind of just went where the waves carried me.
Right. You got good at your craft, though, and have the chops. So when they say play, it comes out sounding good.
Well, thankfully, the training we had in school and in conservatory, literally like the highest standard
Juilliard.
Put in front of us, no, in terms of just playing the classical repertoire, playing, you know, Brahms concerto, Beethoven concerto in front of the highly respected 10 violinists, the best of our generation, you know, for our juries. So basically, the things that we play now, you know, let's say in pop settings or, you know, hip hop settings, they're, you know, comparatively, it's not as hard. So I'm grateful for that training to get me prepared for sight reading, you know, these things that are put in front of me for 5-10 minutes and I can just play them.
So compared to the Bach Chaconne,
exactly.
You could whip this stuff out with one arm tied behind your back.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Most of the time. When I'm in a relaxed state, I would say most of the struggle is actually just showing up and also just feeling mentally and emotionally calm to just do the task that's put in front of us. So
yeah, this interview is about you, but I am a cellist.
Yes.
And I was classically trained, but I was really never that great a classical musician. And there's something about that linear experience of
yes.
reading music and playing. And my pitch wasn't great. I've been kicked out of recording sessions. People have asked me for their money back.
Oh, no.
It is not a pleasant experience. But when I do the thing that I'm really good at, which is some kind of deep ambient meditative thing, I'm really powerful. But, you know, we all have to find our place in the world of arts. And you actually go in a lot of directions, but I'm just so happy that you're able to kind of make it in the legit world of classical music and pop music, because you got the chops. And you just came out with a tune and a video called Flamethrower. Let's talk about that. You're a composer.
Yes, and that was also sort of by accident, too, because I didn't do any composing while I was at Juilliard, but I was in New York and living with a roommate, but it was during the winter, and I was a little depressed, and I was using her piano because she was a pianist, and I wrote this tune, Flamethrower. I had a skeleton of it, and that was 5 years ago, and only up until last year's when I took it out again and decided to make it legit and worked with a friend named Juan Luki, who's also a very close collaborator, and we produced it properly, recorded all the instruments. It just turned out to be a beautiful track, and we're like, we should do a music video for it. So throughout my volunteering on, you know, Skid Row, I met amazing collaborators and friends now who helped me direct the video, and my friend Slick, who is an amazing dancer for Beyonce, Rihanna, he decided to help me out as well. And in one night, 6 hours of shooting, we turned this amazing music video out. Yeah, I'm just so happy to have it out and for it to just be in the world.
We'll play Flamethrower after the interview.
Excellent.
So listeners can hear it.
But it will be off an EP that will be coming out at the end of the year called Labor of Doves. That will have other, you know, solo violin tracks and another vocal track. But it'll be like a work of art, hopefully, that embodies me as Hustle Cat and as a violinist and singer.
What other recordings are you on?
I am on King Britt's project Flowston Paradigm on a track called All Is Said and Done. And I also recorded a track with Ace Manuel, who is a New Jersey club producer, and he came out with a record called Lumi, and the track was called Way of Earth Kid, which I was featured on. So that was pretty cool.
Do you have any classical recordings?
I do. I have 4 preludes by Gershwin, which I could play for you too.
We'll play all that after the interview.
Excellent.
How exciting. On your video Flamethrower, it's very clear how political you are and how you're crossing the artistic and the social responsibility parts of yourself. So it features homelessness and homeless encampments. Talk about your involvement with that.
When I was in New York for 10 years, I noticed homelessness to be an issue, and that was a passion of mine there as well. And I was volunteering with a bunch of organizations like the Bowery Mission and New York City Relief Bus pretty regularly. And I didn't really have a chance to do that up until the pandemic in LA here when I moved back. It just freed up a bunch of time for me, and I found this organization called Hydrate LA, which distributes water and snacks to like 12 outreaches in greater LA.
So people who are homeless, actually, these people get thirsty and need to drink water from time to time, and you're helping with that?
Basic human needs.
Okay. They're human who have to drink once
exactly.
in a while. Okay, good.
Yes, but Hydrate actually was founded during the BLM protests just by two people my age. Just they met each other and they were like, oh, maybe we should hand out some waters to protesters who might be thirsty on these hot days. And so then it just became this mutual aid organization. And then I found out about Sharing Love with Others, which is a homeless organization that meets every Saturday and just started by one woman, just provides meals and food and clothing every week in the same location, Saturday afternoon. So I got pretty involved there. And that's actually where I met my collaborators for the video for Flamethrower, who had the same passion on their hearts. So I think that's why it all came together so beautifully.
Just one thing leads to the next. You have a little guardian angel just pushing you along in life, connecting the dots. I like how you are socially responsible. It's interesting that society starts to attack artists when they get political, when the politics is different from the ones they want.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think music is so, can be so closely related to politics. I mean, like, look at Patti Smith and Bob Dylan, and they're all like peacemakers. I feel like musicians are always peacemakers and mediators and people that really bridge connections and create the space for people to feel and think humanly.
The Dixie Chicks were extremely popular country music band until they came out against the Iraq War, and then they were roundly attacked and their career was destroyed.
Right.
And I think it's sometimes dangerous for artists to get involved in politics, but we're also visionaries. We're also defining the future and new options and ideas, and we're called to it. And I think musicians who have the microphone and have the spotlight, who don't speak up about important issues, at some point they feel kind of ashamed, like, God, I had this great opportunity and I squandered it.
Right. I mean, musicians, I mean, you're a musician yourself.
Not a good studio musician, as we've established.
Musicians in general, you know, our role in a great, we always know our role. Like, that's what makes us kind of a good musician, is when we're in a space and we kind of feel things out. Even as a DJ, you know, you're sensitive and we listen. So why shouldn't we be the pioneers of leading certain social movements and change? You know, like, our whole being is listening, isn't it? So it's kind of interesting, I feel, when...
Well, we're asked to define the incoming awareness, the incoming consciousness in terms of art. Like, the art that's already been there, well, we've heard that. And then we want people to come and come up with something new and interesting. But sometimes that has to do with ideas and or being better human beings. So what are we supposed to just chop off that part of ourselves and not speak out against? Well, I mean, the issue of homelessness.
Yes.
I mean, what do you have? A few million homeless people in the United States, the richest country in the world, like trillions of dollars, just vast resources. 30% or 40% of the food we create is just thrown away. Mm. And we have, within about a mile from me, there's about 1,000 homeless people. I mean, this is like a historical disgrace. In 100 years, we'll look back at this and we'll go, you know, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren will go, how could you have allowed such an abomination, particularly when you had so much, you had so many resources, and you allowed so much desperation and destitution side by side. How could you have possibly been such monsters?
Right. What will our ancestors think, right? Looking back.
It's unfathomable that we allow this to go on in the midst of such plenty.
Agreed. But I just think, you know, it's the whole income disparity issue. It's not an easy fix, you know, and there's many reasons for homelessness too, you know, mental illness and lack of resources and support and
health crises
that,
you but know. Basically at some level we just don't care about people. Like, there's just this kind of cruelty in the hearts of men that has to be overcome, and then we'll go, oh yeah, everybody gets a place to live and food.
Well, it's classism, if we really want to get to the root of it too. It's, you know, racism is a form of classism. Whenever we're, you know, oppressing another group, it's so somebody can be better, you know, capitalistic almost. I mean, capitalism. That's a whole another topic, but doesn't help.
Just moving into a little different direction now. Tell me how spirituality informs your art.
Every human being has a spirit, so seeing people and situations through a spiritual lens for me has always helped me sort of calm me and give me a wider scope of just how I interact with people and play music. So I'd say, you know, when I think of everything that I do and every person I meet as just a way to show them God's love, that really simplifies the situation for me. I literally just see people as, like, you know, spirits beyond just the external. You know, you see people's hearts and not their physicality.
Beautifully put. What's ahead for Stephanie Yu? What's the dream? What's the 5-year dream?
Who knows if tomorrow's going to happen? I don't know.
Well, there's that.
But
assuming we get past tomorrow, maybe through 2021.
Right. You know, having mortality in the back burner really does influence the way that I live too, because, you know, it really just helps you think about how trivial we are, yet how powerful we can be in that moment. But okay, anyways, 5 years from now.
That's actually such a salient observation, because, like, particularly from the time of the pandemic,
yes,
people started to assess mortality. Reality came kind of flooding in, and I think it motivated a lot of people to, let's do life now.
Yes.
Life is short.
Let's enjoy this moment for what it is and not take it for granted.
Let's get about our projects and our creations.
Yeah, without all the other pressures and the obligations of, you know, proving yourself to others or the monetary obligations, because everybody was on an equal playing field, you know, sort of.
So assuming we're here in 5 years.
Yes.
Where is Stephanie Yu?
Stephanie Yu is creating a lifestyle and career with people that she loves and respects, is proud of her work, whatever that looks like. Whether it's creating music for Sync, whether it's my own projects, whether it's playing violin for TVs and film, being a wife, a mom, a parent, good daughter.
Family.
Yeah.
Look at that. A musician, artist who wants.
Yeah.
Who appreciates a home.
Yes. And wants to build sort of a community. I think that's something that I really value. I want to create a space where people can feel welcome to come to, and just an artist persona where also that is true, where people can feel safe and welcome. And though I've come from exclusive places, you know, I've always made an effort to be inclusive, and that's sometimes always at war with each other. But I would hope to be in my being.
That seems to be an underlying theme here with everything you're doing, is home and community, whether it's working with the homeless, producing music.
That's a nice correlation.
Yeah, this is kind of who you are. Well, Stephanie, people can find you at HustleCat on IG, HustleCat, and Stephanie, UYU. Thank you so much for coming in studio today.
Thanks for having me, Pete, and for my stuffed animal.
I gave Stephanie a stuffed animal.
As a remembrance and keepsake of today.
Rooms of angels, rooms of angels sleeping, love and pleasure, here
Thank you. Our love has time, ganzer Scheiß Planet, man, ich fahre hin und kreiere Hype, jedes Tape ein Star Wars Film oder Goonie. Neues Tape oder Movie, neues Shirt, neuer Pulli, neue Fans, neue Groupies. Alles schreit so wie Chewie, mache Cheese, mal Alumi und treibt auf die Stratosphäre, so wie Dr. Dave. Bowman oder Starbuck, mein Loft ist weg. So weit von euch entfernt, das ist Lord Level. So vielleicht guckt mich an, das ist Lord Level. Alter, das ist Diamant, das ist Platin. Alles leuchtet wie ein Sack Martin. Kommt und tut mich ein, Mann, ich warte. Mache keine Interviews außer Atem. Mann, ich gebe keine Fick auf eure dumme Szene. Jede Feature-Anfrage kommt ungebeten. Scheiß auf eure Regeln, spiel mein eigenes Spiel. Immer weiter hoch, ich geb euch Grund zu
hängen. Ich will mich selten. Ich flieg durch 100.000 Felden.
Thank you.
are coming to the end of the show called The Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. We started today's show with a story by the extraordinary Mike Bone called Sears. Then I did an interview with Stephanie Yu, spelled Y-U, and her Instagram is Hustlecat, H-U-S-T-L-E-K-A-T. After the interview, we heard the following tunes featuring her: Flamethrower, Labor of Doves, and then a collaboration with Ace Manuel, Way of Earth Kid. Then a live performance she did of Preludes by Gershwin. After that, a DJ mix she put together for NTS Radio, and just finished off the program with her on violin playing Arvo Pärt's Spiegel im Spiegel, which means mirror in the mirror. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Mystic Pete out.